For every test that God gives you, you're going to develop a new, higher level of faith, and you're going to have to use every ounce of faith that you have to make it through that test. And when you get through that test, your faith will be even larger.
Welcome to A Word from God with your host and teacher, James Lindley.
The topic of this episode is believing.
Hi, this is Misha Pelkey, and before we get started, I want to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. Drop him a line via email at james@awordfromgod.net. That email again is james@awordfromgod.net. Or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. That address again is James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri, 65801. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. Now here's your host and teacher, James Lindley.
We're going to be talking about faith and believing when God gives us a word. Exactly what is it that we define faith as? Well, the Bible defines faith as this, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. In the world that we live in today, the truth is masked by Satan. Satan is the father of all lies, and we are living in a world that is influenced by him. Now, notice I said influenced. I didn't say exactly controlled, because God is in control of everything, even though it may not seem like that. But God is in control. Now, does God allow Satan to get away with things? Now, of course, we know that if God is in control, then we also know that Satan has to get permission from God to do anything that he wants to do. And of course, Satan gets that permission when he comes into our lives and he starts telling us lies and we start believing in him instead of God. Because when we listen to the devil and we act on what he says, we commit sin. So if you want to live a life of faith, you're going to have to start believing in the things that you're hoping for instead of the things that you can see. Now, some people are the type that they have to see before they believe. Thomas in the Bible certainly was one of those people. In John chapter 20, verse 27, then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands? Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas was one of those people who had to see with his own eyes, and in this case, touch with his own hands before he would believe anything about Jesus's resurrection. And you know, the world that we live in today, science can become a person's God. Children today are not taught the Bible in school like they did in the day when schools were first forming in America. Today, you can't even hardly pray in the schools without somebody threatening a lawsuit. And so science in the schools have taken over the place of God. And so faith is becoming harder and harder to find. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 21, "Through Christ you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God." Christians are saved by faith through Jesus Christ. If a person doesn't believe that Jesus Christ died for their sins, that his blood was spilled on the cross, and that God resurrected Jesus from the dead, then you don't have true faith in God through Jesus Christ. And that's the defining faith of the Christian. Now, nearly all other religions besides Christianity believe that your good works are going to save you, but not the Christian faith. The Christian faith clearly states that it is through faith that we are all saved. In fact, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Jesus is a gift from God. We don't have to earn this gift. It is given freely just by believing, and that makes it even more precious. Jesus was a spotless person. He never committed one single sin, and he spilled his blood on the cross so that each and every one of us could believe in him and be resurrected on the last day and pardoned for our sins in front of God. And we can trust that we have it through faith and not by good works. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 9 through 10, this is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. And for this we labor and strive, that we have put our hope in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, and especially of those who believe. Now, what are we laboring for? We're laboring in our faith. The whole thing about being a Christian is that once you accept Jesus Christ and you do that through faith and belief, then you fall into love with Jesus and you want to do the labor of Jesus. What is the labor? The labor is to believe on him. Now, you might think that's easy, but it is well known in the Christian community that we have to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. There are things in this world that will challenge a person's faith. And you don't know what your faith is made of until God allows the heat in your life to be turned up through trials and tribulations, through testing. You see, some of the most ugliest things inside of you can bubble to the surface as the heat in your life turns up. That's why God allows testing. He tests our faith. And it's during those testing times that we find what we're really made of. When things are going good, it's easy to brag about your faith and to feel secure in your faith and to praise God and to walk strong and tall, especially in front of other Christians. But when the hard times come, it can become more difficult to have that outward appearance. See, God is not impressed with our outward appearances. He knows what's going on in the inside. So while some of us can go to church and put on a big act about how faithful and how much faith we have in Christ, God really knows what's in our hearts. And when the tests come, when the heat is turned up, the ugly inside of us starts to brew and starts to bubble to the surface. And believe me, that's what testing's all about. It's to show you what your faith is really made up of so that God can get some of that stuff out of you and make some adjustments in your faith. You know, it's kind of hard to believe that even when people are going through a time of testing, they believe that they can get through it on their own strength. And you can't. When God puts you through a test, he means for you to lean on him through the test, to rely on the faith that he wants to build in you. But sometimes I hear people tell me they're going through a hard time and they're talking about how strong they are, not realizing that God is allowing this in their life to show them how weak they really are without him. That is the time when we should come to God in humbleness and drop to our knees and cry out to him and say, Abba, Father, I lean on you during this time. I like what the man said to Jesus. He said, I believe, help my unbelief. More of us Christians need to do that in times of testing. God already knows what your level of belief is, but do you? And if you won't admit it to God, you certainly won't admit it to yourself. I think a lot of us live in self-denial when it comes to our level of faith. And I think a lot of Christians live with the false pretense that they still have to do something, some kind of a work to be saved, to be invited into God's kingdom on the last day. But Romans chapter 5:1 reads, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Justified through faith. It didn't say justified through works, but through faith. Faith is all that it takes. Just simply believe. You know, leave it to people to try to complicate things. God has told us over and over again in his word that it is by faith and faith alone that a person is saved. Yet over and over again, we see people who are Christians who believe that they got to add something to the cross. Jesus' blood spilled on Calvary wasn't enough. They have to add to it. Some people tell me you have to be baptized plus have your faith. Well, taking a bath is not going to get you into heaven. And not taking a bath is not going to get you into heaven. Baptism is an important part of the Christian walk. I do agree with that. And I believe every believer should be baptized for the outward expression of their faith. But it does not save anyone. It just doesn't. No, because without faith, you have nothing. Nothing whatsoever. We have to believe that Jesus Christ has died and was risen from the dead, and that his blood was spilled an atonement for all of our sins. Nothing, nothing can compare to what Jesus has done. Nothing that we can do. We fall short. If there was anything that we could do, our sinful nature would taint it in front of God, because whatever it would be that we would have to do to save ourselves would have to be perfectly executed. And we're unable to perfectly execute any deed. So what makes us think that we could do anything that would ever please God other than believe in Him? And did you know that our belief doesn't even come from ourselves, but that God gives each person a measurement of faith? And so that's not even ours. So we really can't boast about anything except for Christ. And so what is the evidence of having faith in Jesus Christ? Well, John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father." Now, first of all, Jesus is telling us that if we truly have faith in Him, that we will be doing the things that He is doing. And so, as Christians, we should be going around conducting ourselves in the character of Jesus Christ. And then He goes on to say that we'll do even greater things than these. He's not talking about bigger miracles. He's talking about more of those miracles. Now, see, you're probably thinking to yourself that you've been in church for many, many years, perhaps decades. Some of you are probably thinking this. And you probably are thinking to yourselves how you've never seen a miracle. Well, just because a miracle doesn't involve rising of the dead or walking on water doesn't mean that they don't happen on a daily basis. I've seen many miracles on a daily basis happening around me all the time. If your ears and your eyes are spiritually tuned, you too can see many miracles that God is working through His church here on earth. The problem is that there's too many Christians asleep at the wheel. They're not paying attention to what's going on in the spiritual world of God. And when they do see things that could be a miracle, they quickly explain them away. They become passive to what the Holy Spirit is doing. And that's a shame, because they could be involved in many of those things too. You know, to be an active Christian, one should yield to the Great Commission. Matthew 24, 14, Jesus said, "The gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." If you're tired of this world, if you're tired of how things are working, if it's just not working out for you, and you want to see the return of Jesus Christ, get involved with spreading the gospel. God is waiting for people to come to His kingdom. And who are the ambassadors to tell the people, the lost, the ones who are not saved? Who are the ambassadors? We are. Christians are the ones who are supposed to be telling the world about Christ. Jesus came down and He did enough work, don't you think? I mean, He died for us. He did the hard part. He also laid down a foundation, if you read the Gospels, on how we're supposed to conduct ourselves. Jesus evangelized. And now we have His Spirit living within inside of us, which means that we have the power to go out and evangelize. I think the best part about raising the dead is saving a soul. Because even if you raised a person physically from the dead, they're going to die eventually anyhow. No, people need spiritual healing. And they get that through Jesus Christ. And so we come to the point of, how much faith does a person need to make it into the kingdom of God? Do I need a lot of faith? Do I need a little faith? Do I need a medium amount of faith? Well, Jesus said in Matthew 17:20, "I tell you the truth, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move. Nothing will be impossible for you." Okay, so you want to go out and speak to mountains now. Well, it's not exactly meaning that. Why would God will a mountain to move from one place to the other? Again, we have to pray in the will of the Father. And so what Jesus is saying is that when there is something in our way that is prohibiting us from achieving the will of God in our lives, we can speak to that something, whether it be a person or a thing, and we can command it to move out of our way with the authority of Jesus Christ, and it will obey. Now you're thinking to yourself, wait a minute, I'm not God. Yeah, you got that right, you're not God. But Jesus lives inside of you. And when you're living out your calling, and when you're seeking His will in your life, and you come against opposition, and believe me, if you're seeking God's will in your life, you will run into opposition. The enemy's not going to sit still and just allow you to live a godly life and take over sections of his kingdom. No, he's going to come up against you, but you have the Holy Spirit, because greater is he in you than he who is in the world. Who's in the world? Satan's in the world. He's the prince of this world. This is his kingdom. Adam and Eve forfeited this place to him when they surrendered to his lies in the garden. But now, we have been adopted into the kingdom of God. We are now heirs to the throne. We are children of God. God himself is our Father. And so, with the backing of the Holy Spirit, we can command obstacles to move out of our way. And you might be thinking to yourself, that's absurd, that's impossible, it just can't happen. Well, maybe that's why it's not happening for you, because you're thinking that. But I have been in situations where things looked impossible, yet God came through. And you know, the funny thing is that sometimes you have to keep knocking, sometimes you have to keep praying to God to get something to move out of the way, but he will do it when the time is right. And so just don't give up because you have an obstacle in your way that's keeping you from doing the will of God in your life. No, don't give up. Keep knocking, keep seeking, keep looking, keep asking, keep knocking, keep seeking, keep asking. God will answer. How determined are you to do the will of God? Sometimes when we come to God because we have something in our way, God is testing us just how much we really want to do his will. I think that's the biggest obstacle when we are coming to God and we think we're doing it in faith and we're asking him, Lord, move this out of my way so that I can do the will that you have for me in my life. But we're weak-minded or weak-hearted about what we're asking God. We really haven't lined ourselves up with his will. We think we have. We think that our desires line up with his desires. But deep down inside, God reads our heart and he says, no. No, you don't really mean this. And so our faith is weakened. And so we give up in our prayers, thinking that it's impossible. But if we really know that something is the will of God for our lives, then we will keep knocking and seeking and asking until that object is moved. Because you know, God does answer prayer. And sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says wait, which is a yes, but it's a later on yes. So it's something that we have to wait for, but he's going to answer it. Because not everything that we're asking for is in our timing. We have to wait for God's timing on some of the things that we're asking for. And so God can actually test our faith when we have to wait for an answer to prayer. Have you ever been in a situation where you just knew it was God's will, that something was to take place in your life, but you couldn't understand why the obstacles were not being moved out of the way? That's because God was testing you in your faith. He wants you to keep asking and knocking and seeking so that your faith is enduring, so that you have perseverance in your prayers, knowing that when you don't get your answer right away, that if you do keep asking him, you will get your answers. And so we can be tested in our faith. And why does God test us in our faith? Simply because he loves us, and building our faith strengthens us. Everybody wants to have strength in their Christian walk. It's the way that God grows that faith that most people want to avoid. We don't like trials and tribulations. But unfortunately, it does take that at times to build our faith. And trials and tribulations are no fun. But when they are over with, they certainly do have a great reward. And that reward is stronger faith in God. And you're going to need it for the next trial and tribulation to come your way. But always remember, no matter how hard the trial or the tribulation is, we can count on God to be there for us. Isaiah 40:31 reads, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. An eagle is a magnificent bird. When a storm comes up and the eagle is flying towards it, and it finds itself in the midst of that storm. It can actually soar above the clouds, above the storm, up to where it's calm. They don't have to endure the storm's impact because they're flying above it. Is the storm still there? Of course it is. It's below them, but they're soaring above it. And God gives us the wings, if you will, to fly above our storms in life. Yes, the storm is still there beneath us, but with Christ holding us up on the wings of eagles, we're above the impact of the storms. The waves may come crashing in, and the winds may blow and howl, but God is flying us high above their impact. We don't have to feel the impact of the storm. So we can have peace in the storm. Not the kind of peace that the world brings. Not the kind of peace that makes the storm go away immediately when you speak peace. But when you speak this kind of peace, you're speaking the peace of Jesus Christ, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, knowing that you are soaring high above the storm clouds, knowing that God is holding you tight and keeping you secure while the storm rages around you and until it passes by. But you can't have that kind of peace if you don't have faith in God. And faith in God all starts with His Son, Jesus Christ. Because if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, then you truly don't believe in God Himself, because Jesus is the essence of who God is. He is the very manifested character and being of God Himself. Jesus said that anyone who has seen the Son has seen the Father. And if you want to show people the Father, show them your walk with Christ. Show them your biblical walk with Christ. Don't just tell people about Jesus. Show them Jesus by the way you live your life. That's the true testimony. Your words can be far fewer when you're witnessing to someone if they can see the light of God shining through your life. What a powerful witness God is for Himself in the life of a believer. There is no greater witness than God Himself in the life of a believer. If you want to show people your faith, show them your works. When you work for the kingdom of God, doing what the Word of God says, when you are a believer in Christ and you are standing steadfast in the Word of God, not swaying with every storm that comes your way, you are living a life of Christ, and you will witness to people just by your life alone. And people will see that there's something different about that person. And you will draw men to you. Jesus said that He will draw all men to Him. Well, if you want to draw people to you, you draw closer to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And if you're listening right now and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then I'd like to ask you right now to draw yourself closer to God by accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It is the biggest and best decision that you will ever make in your life. Tomorrow's not the day. Today is the day. If you're listening to this and you haven't made this decision, there could be a very good reason why you're listening to this right now. It's a simple prayer, but this prayer will change your life forever. Say this prayer with me now. Lord Jesus, forgive me for all of my sins. I believe You died on the cross for me. I repent of my sins and I accept You as my personal Lord and Savior. I open the door of my heart and I invite You to come in. Wash and cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I turn my back on sin and I want to follow You for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. If you just said that prayer and you meant it in your heart, you are now in the family of God.
This is Misha again to remind you that James loves hearing from his listeners. You can contact him via email at james@awordfromgod.net or write to James Lindley Ministries, P.O. Box 8082, Springfield, Missouri 65801. And be sure to visit us online at www.awordfromgod.net. Again, that's www.awordfromgod.net. This is a listener-supported ministry and relies on your generous financial support. For any donation amount that you send, we will send you a free copy of the DVD, Praise and Promises. I'm Misha Pelkey for A Word from God. Now back to James.
Thank you, Misha. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 3, by faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. Faith truly is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. And God wants you and your faith to grow with Him on a daily basis. And sometimes that means we have to go through some hard times in life. But rest assured that God will always be with you through each and every one of your trials and tribulations. Faith, like muscles, have got to be exercised in order to grow larger. And if we don't exercise our faith, if we don't allow God to work His work when we're going through the hard times of life, we will be missing out on a tremendous blessing. The blessing of being able to trust God even more. And that's what it's all about, trusting God. Abraham's faith was stretched when he was asked to offer up Isaac, his one and only son, to God. There's no telling what went through that man's mind as he was taking his son to the altar to be sacrificed. I'm sure that he wrestled with many disturbing thoughts as he wrestled with his faith. But of course, we know that his faith was grown by that test. And that's why God puts each and every one of us to the test, so that our faith can stretch and grow. And one thing about testing from God is that you really can't save up your faith from the last test that God gave you and use leftovers for the next test that He's going to give you. For every test that God gives you, you're going to develop a new, higher level of faith, and you're going to have to use every ounce of faith that you have to make it through that test. And when you get through that test, your faith will be even larger. That's what testing does for us. Like it or not, every Christian has to go through it. And I would recommend to anyone listening to this that when you find yourself in a place of testing, learn as quickly as you possibly can, because you don't want to be in there any longer than you have to be. I'm speaking from experience, I'm sure you can tell. I'm James Lindley for A Word from God, and I want to thank you for listening. And I pray that God will bless you immensely from this message.